Thank you. That was good song service tonight. We sang some songs we haven't sung for several months, and so that was good to rehearse those again. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that great faith chapter. As we have been working our way into this great chapter, we have already studied together the reason for this chapter, the context of this chapter, and certainly we see part of that at the end of chapter 10 when it says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, for ye have need of patience," verse 36, "and yet a little while he that shall come will come." And then verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith." So those phrases are all giving us some of the occasion for why this whole book, and especially this chapter, was being written, because we find those that were tempted to turn back, to fall back, to give up, to quit. And so they are being encouraged to not cast away their confidence. They're being encouraged to have patience, because the Lord is going to come, and the encouragement to live by faith. And that's exactly what chapter 11 then does, is it gives us a little more definition of faith, and then it also gives us example after example of men and women who are men and women of faith. And we have worked our way down through the first few verses that define faith, and then we start in verse 4 and have examples of those elders that obtained a good report. And we saw the life of Abel, and Abel worshipped by faith. And we looked at Enoch, and Enoch walked by faith. And then again last week we looked at verse 6, and verse 6 again explains the necessity of faith, and the necessity of our belief in God, and the belief that he also is a rewarder. That was important for these believers to understand, that God would reward them for their faithfulness, and God would reward them if they did not turn back and continued on. And then we come to verse 7. And verse 7 is a tremendous concrete example of the truth in verse 6. And when we come to verse 7, we have a new character, and his name is Noah. And Noah is an example of all that we find in verse 6. God's dealing with Noah and the world at that time are an example of his dealings with the world in all ages. Just as God was dealing with Noah, he would deal with the world. And keep your fingers there, because of course we're going to come back, but turn over just a few more chapters to 2 Peter, the little book of 2 Peter, and chapter 3, verse 6 says, "Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." And so that which he did during Noah's day with a flood, he has warned that he will again do another time with fire. And so the warning is there, both by example and by word, that God is going to deal with people. And so this passage about Noah in verse 7 of Hebrews 11 is a definite example of a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's what verse 6 said. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's what Noah was. And Noah was rewarded, wasn't he? But then we also saw that according to the flood, and because of the passage that we just read over in 2 Peter, We also see that God is not just a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, but he is a revenger of those that despise him, that do not seek him. And so we see this destruction of the old world because of a displeasure with sin. Even Job mentions that as well. And if you go back to the book of Job, and I'm going to draw your attention to chapter 22 of Job. But in verse 15, we read, "Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overthrown with a flood?" Job says, have you watched what God does to those who are wicked? And he overflows throws them with a flood. And so God has a displeasure with sin. But we also notice that he preserved Noah. And that's the privilege of God's own people. Again, in 2 Peter 2, 9, it says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." So he knows how to deliver, and he knows how to reserve the unjust unto judgment. And in this example of Noah, we see God doing both. He is preserving the righteous, and he is judging the wicked. And so when we come to verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." We had Abel worshiping by faith. We had Enoch walking by faith. And we have Noah working and witnessing by faith. Because that's exactly what Noah does here. He begins to obey God. And what did he do? Prepared an ark. Before we look at this passage for a few moments before our communion service tonight, I want to notice three things especially that kind of claim our attention here out of verse 7. I want us to notice Noah's faith and what it was built on. What was Noah's faith grounded in? What did we say a long time ago in some of these messages? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So for these folks to exercise the faith that they did, Abel, Enoch, Noah, they had to exercise faith, and they had to exercise faith because of something they had heard. What had they heard? Upon what was their faith grounded? And in this passage it says, being warned of God. So it was founded on the word of God. And that's very consistent with all of God's word, that God gives us his word and we need to act upon his word by faith. And that's what we see Noah doing. So the ground of Noah's faith was that warning from God. What were the effects of Noah's faith? How was Noah's faith affected? Well, there was an internal and an external. What was the internal effect of being warned of God? What does it say there? Moved with fear. Now, that fear we know is not just talking about trembling, affrighted, but it's more of the awe and respect for God. He was moved with awe and respect for who God was. And so that was the internal effect of believing the warning from God. But there was also an external effect. And what was that external effect? He was moved with fear and did what? Prepared an ark. So that was an act of obedience. You know, when God's word comes into our lives, it should have the effect of moving us in our inner being and then motivating us to outward action. And so there was, this was the effect of Noah's faith. It was built upon the warning of God, and its effect was, there was an internal effect and an external effect. But let's look at the results of his faith. What was the results of his faith mentioned in this passage? Well, several things. The saving of his house. Of course, we know that's talking about his wife and daughters and their husbands. And so the saving of his house was one of the results of his faith and his being moved with fear and his obedience. His household was saved. But what else was the result? By the which he what? Condemned the world. And so by his act of faith, he saved his household, but the rest of the world was condemned because they refused to listen to his warnings. They refused to heed what God was doing. And then there was a third effect or result here of his faith. He became heir of what? Righteousness. Wow. He was quite a man of faith here. Now again, before we move into studying those three areas a little more in detail, I want to ask you a question. Was Noah saved by his own works? And what would have happened if Noah had not built an ark? He would have perished like everyone else. Was it then his own effort that preserved him? No. It was the power of God that preserved him. Because even being in the ark, what did the Word of God tell us? That God remembered Noah. It was always Noah and his trust in God's preservation. It wasn't like he did something to save himself. Power of God kept him while he was in the ark, kept the ark away from destruction, kept the ark away from the mountains or the rocks or the waves that might have destroyed it. It was God who preserved. Noah made use of the means of salvation that God prescribed. And in that case, it was an ark. And so we too have to react as Noah did, and we have to avail ourselves of the means of salvation that God has prescribed. And what is that means of salvation that God has prescribed for the age in which we live? Jesus Christ. What a wonderful picture we have of the ark representing Jesus Christ as we are to go by faith into the ark that's been prepared and prescribed. And so we have to do that. Noah's deliverance was a type of our eternal deliverance from God's wrath to come. His deliverance was a type of our own deliverance. So then, was Noah saved by works? No, he was already, before this, called a man of faith, and he obtained righteousness. He was already a man of faith when he began to build the ark. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6 for just a moment. Genesis 6, and of course, this is where we read of this story. In verse 8, what do we find in verse 8? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So Noah was a recipient of God's grace. Then in verse 9, Noah was a just man, and he walked with God. And then go to verse 14. Then he was told to do what? Make an ark. So he was already the recipient of God's grace before he began constructing the ark, and he was already a man who was just and perfect. And that word just is the very similar word that we have over in Hebrews, the word righteousness. He was a just man. He was a righteous man, perfect in his generation. And he walked with God. And so when he was told to begin to make this ark, he was already a man of faith. And look at verse 22, chapter 6. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And so we see him as a man of obedience. So again, he was not saved by his works. He was a righteous man of faith before God told him what to do. And we've studied already here in chapter 11 of Hebrews the importance and excellence of faith. And then we have this outline of faith here in verses 4 through 7. We have the beginning of a life of faith, Abel. We have the nature of a life of faith, Enoch. And we have the end of a life of faith, Noah. If we had time, we could go back and look at this a little more in detail, but Genesis 3 and 4 correspond to Hebrews 11, 4. Genesis 5 corresponds to Hebrews 11, 5. Genesis 6 correspond to Hebrews 11, 7. And so it might be fun to go back and read Genesis 3 and 4 and then Hebrews 11, verse 4. Go back and read Genesis 5 and then Hebrews 11, 5. Go back and read Genesis 6 and then verse 7. But when we come to this whole passage back in Genesis, notice in verse 13, there's the warning that God gives. And again, this is after Noah has found grace, after Noah has been a just man and walked with God. Notice what's announced in verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. There's the warning. And because of that warning, what did Noah do? By faith, he built an ark to the saving of his house. And not only did God give the warning, but God is the one who prescribed the way to escape. Look at verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And so that was the way of deliverance was announced. The destruction was warned of, and the way of deliverance was announced. What was the only necessary thing? Obedience of faith was necessary. And when we go back to 2 Thessalonians and look at, again, some truths there, it says in verse 7 of verse 1, chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a similar warning, don't we? There's a day coming when God is going to take vengeance on those that obey not the gospel and that know not God. And then a similar warning is given to us by Peter in 2 Peter 3 verse 10. Second Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And so we have ample warning from God about that destruction that is coming. And we, like Noah, need to heed the warning and avail ourselves of the way of escape that God provides. Now, as we go back to our study in Hebrews chapter 11, we see a very ideal thing taking place in verse 5, that Enoch did not see death. But there was a reason for that. He did what? He had this testimony that he pleased God. And but when it comes to verse 7, we also see that, according to the life of Noah, there are some duties that we need to perform while we're on this earth. There are some things we need to do, just like Noah did them. He needed to act in faith, to exercise proper reverence and fear toward God, and to be obedient. And these are how our lives are to be regulated if we too are going to please God and walk with God. We need to live by faith. We need to have proper respect for who God is, and we need to obey that which God says. So, we are to live on earth as citizens of heaven. We see that a little later in our passage. In verse 10 it says, "For he looked for a city who hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So, even though we're living on earth, we're still knowing that our citizenship is in heaven. So we're to be living like citizens of heaven. And so if we're to regulate everything we do by faith, by fear, and by obedience, that should have an effect on our everyday lives, shouldn't it? It ought to affect the things we look at. It ought to affect the things we listen to. It ought to affect how we drive our cars. It ought to affect what comes out of our mouth. It ought to affect what we think about when we face a problem. It ought to affect how faithful we are in our worship of God. Let's quickly turn over a few more verses to 1 John chapter 2. Here's the result if we say we know God and we don't do the things that we know are pleasing to him. It says, "For he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And so there has to be a consistency in our lives when we claim to be men and women of faith. We have to live by principle and live in obedience to the word of God. And so, of course, the key to all of this is faith. Ephesians 2, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We usually stop there. But what does verse 10 say? "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so, don't separate verse 10 from 8 and 9. Certainly, we're to begin a life of faith, but we're also to have a working of faith that exemplifies our lives. And faith should always spring forward into works, and it did in the life of Noah. His faith caused him to do what? Build an ark. there's some work for you from his life of faith. Noah didn't act by reason, did he? Did he know what rain was? No, we don't think he knew what rain was at this point. God had not used rain to water the earth at that point. Would he have known what a flood was? Not likely. So he wasn't used to these things that he had been warned of, but he didn't try to reason them out. All he did was believe God and by faith obey. And he was moved by his awe of God, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Matthew Henry, that great scholar, said these words: faith first influences our affections and then our actions. Faith first influences our affections. What did Noah do? He was moved with fear. And then what did he do? It also affected his actions. He prepared an ark. But at the same time he was saved, sadly, the world was condemned. The world of those who are unbelieving, unconcerned, godless, mockers, that refused to take warning from God and perished in the flood. His way of escape, once God closed the door, became the way of condemnation for the rest of the world. Let's tonight learn from Noah to have faith because of what God has warned us of. We then are moved with awe and respect for God, and we live a life of obedience for Him. And we too know that by faith we are heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's pray. Lord, as we contemplate Noah's faith, we pray that we too might be men and women of faith tonight. Not moved by feeling, not moved by just our likes and dislikes, not moved by anything except faith in God. And help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Bless as we enter into this communion time that, again, we'll be reminded that Jesus Christ is that great ark of safety, of which Noah's ark was but a picture. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.